said in verse 14, "And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth." You might like to underscore that in your Bible. And then the second is when King David, in the book of 1 Kings chapter 2 and in verse 1, charged Solomon his son, saying, "I go the way of all the earth." Are you familiar with that expression? It's an expression of death. And there are six things I want to call to your attention about it today. Feel free to jot down whatever notes you might like to take. The first thing I call to your attention is the fact that we are sure to go. As you think about going the way of all the earth, the words that were spoken long ago by Joshua and David can easily be said of each one of us today. If the Bible teaches anything at all, it teaches that death is sure. As you begin to pick up this book and read its pages, back in the book of Genesis in chapter 5, you read of the generations of Adam. And one of the things you might observe as you read that chapter is the fact that it is said of each of those, with the exception of Enoch, for he was translated that he should not see death because he had this testimony. Remember his testimony? That he pleased God, Hebrews 11:5. But of everyone else, it is said, "and he died." You might underscore that expression as you encounter it in the fifth chapter of Genesis. Like in verse 5 of Adam, "and he died." Of Seth in verse 8, "and he died." Of Enos, verse 11, "and he died." Cainan, verse 14, "and he died." Mahalalel, verse 17, "and he died." Jared in verse 20, "and he died." Methuselah, the oldest man to ever live, by the way. Remember how old he was when he died? Anybody remember? 969 years. And the Bible says he died, verse 27. And Lamech, he died, verse 32. That kind of makes an impression on you, doesn't it? The fact that we're sure to go. Job said in Job 30 and in verse 23, "For I know." Job, we've got a little question for you today. What do you know? "That thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living." Did you know that death is appointed for all living? Now this question by the psalmist in Psalm 89 and verse 48. "What man is he that liveth and shall not see death?" In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5, Solomon said, "For the living know." What is it that the living know? That they shall die. And then as you come to the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 22, Paul said, "For as in Adam," what's the rest of that? "All die." That includes you and me as well. In Hebrews 9 and verse 27, the Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die." And so the Bible affirms that death is sure. We're sure to go the way of all the earth. You might see an obituary listing in the newspaper or hear the reading of the obituaries on the radio. Pass by a cemetery. See a funeral procession. And all of these are but reminders of the fact that we're sure to go the way of all the earth. But the second thing I want to call to your attention as you think about going the way of all the earth is the fact that it won't be very long till we go. Let me ask you a question. How much longer do you plan to live? Another year? Another 5 years? 10? 20? 40? The reality is we have no idea what tomorrow's obituary list will be, do we? We have no guarantee that we'll see the sun come up in the morning. It may not come up. It may, but we may not be here to see it. We sing, "It won't be very long till this short life shall end. It won't be very long till here we cease to roam," and the Bible affirms that time and again. Like in the words of Psalm 89 and verse 47, remember what? How short my time is. And there are a number of statements throughout this sacred volume that express the shortness of my time. Let me call a few of those to your attention this morning as you think about how short my time is. First of all, the brevity of life is depicted as a flower. You might remember the words of Job 14, 1 and 2, where it is recorded, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." The psalmist also picked up on that idea in Psalm 103, verses 15 and 16, when he said, "As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." You see a flower today, how beautiful it is, and how short its time is. It's here today, and it's gone tomorrow. And that's the way life is. And so we sing, as the life of a flower, as a breath or a sigh, so the years that we live as a dream hasten by. You ever look back over your life and a lot of things just kind of seem like a dream? That's how it is, isn't it? True, today we're here. But tomorrow may see just a grave in the veil and a memory of me. Your life is like a flower. But also, the shortness of my time is depicted as a shadow. You're familiar with a shadow that's cast. You look, and there it is, and next thing you know, it's disappeared. It's gone. In Job 14 and 2, the Bible says, "He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." And then in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 15, "Our days on the earth are as a what? Shadow. And there is none abiding." But not only is life like a flower and like a shadow, life is as a wind. Maybe you're sitting out in your lawn chair and you feel a breeze blow by. It passes by quickly. That's how life is. And Job said in Job 7 and verse 7, "Oh, remember that my life is wind." And then Psalm 78:39 teaches, "For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again." Also, life is like a post. Not a fence post, but a post in the sense of a courier or a messenger. You might think of a postman. In Job 9 and verse 25, "Now my days are swifter than a post." It's swifter than the most fleet messenger. They flee away. They see no good. And then in the next verse, Job 9 and 26, life is depicted as the swift ships. When the Bible talks about our days, how they are passed away as the swift ships. You ever stand on the seashore and watch the ships go by? That's some sight, isn't it? You ever notice how quickly they disappear? Next time you have opportunity to stand on the seashore and watch some ships, you might just think a little bit about how quickly they vanish. And that's how life is depicted, my friend. As the swift ships, they're passed away. But also in Job 9 and verse 26, "Our days are passed away as the eagle that hasteth to the prey." You ever watch an eagle? As he sweeps down the get his prey. How quick do they make that descent? That's life. It's as the eagle. But as you think about the fact that it won't be very long till we go, life is like a tale that is told. In the book of Psalms 90 and in verse 9, the psalmist said, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath." We spend our years. How do we spend our years? As a tale that is told. Have you told a tale lately? Have you heard a tale told? Did it take very long? It's pretty quick, isn't it? And that's how life is, like a tale that is told. But also, life is like a weaver's shuttle. Notice in the book of Job 7 and 6, where it is recorded, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." It's an instrument for weaving or knitting. And how important it is to live as if we're to soon see that rapid shuttle fly for the last time. And then as you make your study of how short your time is, you've got to remember the fact that life is like a vapor. When in James 4, the servant of our Lord was talking to those who said, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. And basically James says, slow down, hold on a second. Ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? How long has it been since you contemplated that question? What is your life? And then he answers, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You're familiar with the vapor, aren't you? If not, when you go home, get you a pot of water and put it on the stove burner and turn that thing on and you'll soon see some vapor. Remove the pot, watch the vapor disappear. And then you have a little reminder of how short your time is. In the book of Psalm 90, 10 and 12, the psalmist said, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. How many is that? 70. If a score is 20, 70 would be 60, and 10 would be 70, wouldn't it? 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80, that's 80. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. In light of the brevity of life, he said, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So as you think about this little expression, going the way of all the earth, you've got to realize that we're sure to go. And the only exception to that is if the Lord comes. And it won't be very long till we go. But may I suggest to you a third thing about going the way of all the earth? And that is, let's think for just a few moments about what happens when we go. Just what takes place when we go the way of all the earth. Well, to appreciate that, we need to realize, first of all, the fact that man is composed of spirit and soul and body. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. There's a part of us that's physical in nature. As Genesis 2 and verse 7 affirms that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Thus in Genesis 3 and verse 19, to Adam God said, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. There's a part of you that is made of dust. From a physical standpoint, we are, as Abraham said, as recorded in Genesis 18 and verse 27, dust and ashes. That'll humble you, won't it? Next time you get to feeling a little more highly of yourself than maybe you ought to, you might think about the fact that you're just dust and ashes. There's a part of you that is just physical. They'll go back to the ground from which it came. But the Bible teaches that there's more to you and to me than just this physical house of flesh that we see. There's a spiritual side. As Zechariah 12 and verse 1 affirms, the Lord formeth the spirit of man within him. There's a part of you that will outlive this world and survive the death of your body. And that's the spirit, that's the soul. All that happens when we go the way of all the earth is this physical body that is made of dust and ashes will go back to the dust from whence it came, and the spirit will return unto God who gave it. In the book of James 2 and verse 26, James, in teaching the necessity of faith and works, talked about as the body without the spirit is dead. You see, death occurs when the spirit slips out of the body. Only the body dies. The spirit continues to live. We find that process described in the book of Ecclesiastes. You remember Solomon tried to find out what life was about. What was good for folks to do under the sun? And when you study Ecclesiastes, if you're going to understand that book, you've got to take note of the expression under the sun. That's what it's all about, life here on earth. And in chapter 12, he pictures the aging process. He makes an appeal to the young man. He says, remember. Remember when? Now. Remember who? Thy Creator. Remember when? In the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. He's talking about the difficult days of advanced age. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, or the clouds return after the rain. That's an expression of one affliction after another. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, the hands aren't as steady as they used to be, or the arms. The strong men shall bow themselves. The young person is able to stand erect, but not as easy as we grow older. The grinders cease because they're few. That's a reference to the teeth. Those that look out of the windows be darkened. The eyes begin to dim. The doors should be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. Not able to hear as well. And he shall rise up with the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. The voice is not as strong as it used to be. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, a young man might be able to climb the highest scaffolding. But the older you get, it becomes more difficult to make your way up the ladder. Fear shall be in the way. And the almond tree shall flourish, a reference to the hair. It begins to turn white. The grasshopper shall be a burden. Task that to you may seem easy. At some point, if you're fortunate to live long enough, won't be so easy. Become a burden, more difficult. Desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home. That's going the way of all the earth. And the mourners go about the streets. There's your funeral procession. And when my grandfather, my father, and I had the privilege of spending some time in the Philippine Islands, we saw the mourners going about the streets as there'd be a casket on top of a car, and there'd be folks walking behind down the streets, following to the place of burial. They literally go about the streets. Wherever the silver cord be loose, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. That's all describing death. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. That's what happens at death. That's what happens when we go the way of all the earth. And we've already learned we're going that way. It won't be very long till we go. And that's what happens. It's a natural process that God has put in place. The body goes back to dust, and the spirit goes back unto God who gave it. It's said of Rachel. In the book of Genesis 35 and verse 18, it came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died. Thus we read of those who were said to give up the ghost. Sometimes instead of the word soul or spirit, you have the word ghost. Those are used interchangeably. And death is expressed different ways. You might make a study of that sometime. Make you a little list of ways death is expressed or described. We're talking about one of those today. It's expressed as a going the way of all the earth. It's expressed as a giving up of the ghost. And as her soul is in departing, it's a departure. Remember Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. It's a departure. It's a sleep. Remember, it was said of Lazarus, he's asleep. And Paul talked about those that were asleep in Christ. He wrote the Thessalonians about the resurrection. And when Stephen died, it was said that he was asleep. I had a study not too long ago with a fella that he said his pastor told him that when Stephen was being stoned, he laid down and took a nap. because it says he is asleep. That's not what that's about. You see, the word death is used in the sense of asleep. And it's used different ways. And so giving up the ghost is a reference to the spirit departing from this body. As Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jesus are all said to have given up the ghost. But on the other hand, in 1 Kings 17 and verse 22, when Elijah raised the widow's son, the Bible says the soul of the child came into him again and he revived. And so it takes the union, the combination of spirit and body to constitute life. You're here today. You're alive. You're moving. You're being because your soul is in you. Your spirit is in you. But when you go the way of all the earth, whenever that occurs, your spirit will slip out of this body and go back to God who gave it. And so we've learned some things about going the way of all the earth, haven't we? We're sure to go. It won't be very long till we go, and we've learned about what happens when we go. Well, let's take this study a step further. Let me talk to you for just a moment about how we can go. Did you know that you can choose how you go the way of all the earth? Now, I don't mean by that that you can choose whether you die by accident or by disease. But from a spiritual standpoint, you will decide how you go the way of all the earth, and so will I. And the Bible talks about ways we can die. That makes for a good study in and of itself. There are a lot of different ways we can die. But let me suggest to you, for the purpose of our study, two ways you and I can go the way of all the earth. One way we can do that is in our sins. The Lord talked about that in the book of John 8 and in verse 24. He said, "For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." And I want to recommend to you today that you don't want to go the way of all the earth that way. You don't want to go in your sins. For back in verse 21, he said, "If you die in your sins, whither I go, you cannot come." He is going to heaven to be with the Father. And so if I go the way of all the earth or die in my sins, I can't go to heaven. I don't want to go that way. You don't want to go that way. And you don't have to. Because God has made provision for our sins to be forgiven and to be forgotten. A second way you can go the way of all the earth is in Christ. That's how you want to go. In the book of Revelation, John talked about this in chapter 14 and verse 13. When he heard a voice from heaven saying unto him, write. John, what did the voice tell you to write? Blessed are the dead. Is that what he said? That's not what he said. Blessed are the dead which die. Is that what he was told to write? No, that's not it either. He said, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth." You see, there's nothing particularly blessed about death itself. But blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. The only death the Bible speaks of as being blessed is the death of those who die in the Lord. And then he said, "Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Now, if I want to die in the Lord, I've got to be in the Lord, don't I? And that brings up a question in my mind, and it may yours as well, and that is, how do I get into the Lord? So that when I go the way of all the earth, I don't have to go that way in my sins. I can go the way in the Lord. Well, the Bible answers that in plain language in the book of Romans 6, 3 and 4, as well as Galatians 3 and verse 27 when Paul said that we're baptized into Christ. And that's why we plead with folks to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of their heart, to repent of their sins, to confess their faith in the Son of God, and to be baptized into Christ, so that when you go the way of all the earth, you can go that way in the Lord and be at rest from your labors. But it's not enough to just be baptized in the Lord. You've got to stay there. Too many leave the Lord. They turn from Him. And the Bible affirms the need to abide in Him. John 15 is the abiding chapter. And in Colossians 2, 6, and 7, Paul said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. I've got to walk in Him and abide in Him all the days of my life so that when death comes, I can go the way of all the earth in the Lord. But let me suggest to you something else as you think about this little expression. Going the way of all the earth. That is, once we go, there's no return. There's no coming back. You see, there's a finality to death as it brings an end to our earthly existence. And so whatever it is you intend to get done here on earth, you better get her done, right? There's no second chances. There's no after death saying, you know, I really messed that up. I'd like to go back and do that again. It's described in the book of 2 Samuel 14 and 14 this way. For we must needs die and are as. I want you to think about what we're as. Water spilled on the ground which cannot be gathered up again. Think about that. Once your life is over, that's the end. If you think there's a second chance, if you think there will be an opportunity for you to come back and make amends or straighten things around, take your cup of water and pour it out on the ground and see how successful you are at trying to pick it up again. It'd be easier for you to do that than to try to return once you're the way of all the earth. In Job 14, 11 and 12, it is recorded, as the waters fell from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. In Job 16, 22, it is recorded, when a few years are come, what then? I shall go the way whence I shall not return. There is no return. And in Psalm 78, 39, remember we talked about how life is like a wind? He said that passeth away and, remember the rest of that? Cometh not again. David recognized that in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12 and in verse 23. You remember one of the consequences of his sin with Bathsheba was the death of the child that was born. And David said, can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. The rich man learned that, didn't he? Remember reading about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16? Beginning at verse 19, how there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. You see, there's no changing the state of the dead or the destiny of the deceased. There's no return. And so whatever it is that we need to do, we need to take care of it now. Because as you think about going the way of all the earth, the Bible teaches we know not when we will go. I think about the statement made in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verses 6 through 8. When Solomon announced, to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him, for he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And then in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 12 he said, For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Death just kind of has a way of doing that, doesn't it? Falling suddenly upon a person. I had a cousin who was married to a man about 40 years old that served as a deacon in a church in Tampa, Florida. I got a call at the house one day that he just killed over. Had a heart attack, sudden heart attack. And I couldn't believe it. When they told me who it was, I thought they were mistaken. Picture of health, you thought. Just he was doing some work at the building, trying to get some things ready. They winter such as they have down there after the winter, making a few changes to the meeting place and with some others, and just fell over dead. Heart attack. And so we just don't know, do we? We do not know. Man knoweth not his time. It's like the book of Proverbs 27 and verse 1 says, Boast not thyself of tomorrow. We have a tendency to do that sometimes, don't we? Tomorrow I'm going to do this. Tomorrow I'm going to do that. We don't know, do we? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. How true that is. Who in Moore, Oklahoma knew what that day would hold? And you can think of any number of days with which you're familiar that have come and gone. We just do not know. Remember reading about the rich man in Luke chapter 12? He had plans for many years, didn't he? He said, Soul, thou hast many goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. How many of those years did he live? He didn't live through the night. God said, This night shall thy soul be required of thee. He went the way of all the earth that night. And so, just like James said, we ought to say, If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And so as you think about going the way of all the earth, we're sure to go. Death is a reality. It's a certainty. It won't be very long till we go. We saw that expressed a number of different ways. From a flyer to a vapor. It won't be very long. We've learned what happens when we go. The body goes back to the dust from whence it came. The spirit will return unto God who gave it. We talked about the fact that you can go two different ways. You can go in your sins and be forever separated from God. Or you can go in the Lord as you're baptized into Him and you remain there in faithful service to Him. You can be at rest. We've learned that once we go, there's no return. There's no coming back. There's no second chances. As death, it brings about a finality to things here on earth. And the fact that we know not when we will go. And so we need to be ready, don't we? You know, in the book of 2 Kings chapter 20 and in verse 1, we read these words that were spoken to King Hezekiah, Judah. In days gone by, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. We've got some house setting order to do, don't we? Have you set yours in order? When we talk about setting your house in order, we don't mean that you have your furniture all arranged and the draperies adjusted properly. And we don't mean when you think about this house, this physical house, your hair parted and all that, make sure your tie is adjusted. No. Talk about from a spiritual standpoint. Have you made your funeral arrangements? And I don't mean by that that you've got your will made out and you've got your burial place decided and all of that. And that does make it easier for a family. But I'm talking about, have you made your spiritual arrangements? Wouldn't it be a tragedy for us to suddenly go the way of all the earth and not be ready for that? To not have things set in order. To not be prepared. We set our house in order by hearing the Word of God. By believing it. By repenting of our sins, making some changes in our life. To do the things that God would have us to do. To quit doing the things that He'd not have us to be involved in. To confess with our mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of our sins. To rise to walk in newness of life, of faithful service to God. Be faithful unto death, the Lord said. And I'll give thee a crown of life, Revelation 2. And then verse 10. And so as we begin this gospel meeting together, I hope that we'll think very seriously about an expression that is used in this sacred book to describe death that is appointed to each of us, going the way of all the earth. And may we be ready for that occasion. I appreciate the good way that you've listened and am excited about this gospel meeting. Appreciate the invitation to be here, and it's my prayer that through the efforts that are being put forth, our God will be glorified, His Son will be exalted, there'll be lost souls saved. Any that have strayed from the fold will find their way back home. And that this local church will be edified. If there's anybody that you'd like for us to visit, to study with, we're available to do that. If you just let us know, we're here to be of help.